Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Buckmaster Show on KVOI for this Friday, November 30th, 2012. As we get ready to close the books on November, I would be very surprised if this November does not go down as one of the five warmest Novembers on record. We really are having a balmy spring-like late fall and early winter here in Tucson. Really need the rain, though. Hope you're having a great day. Looking forward to a good weekend. I'm Bill Buckmaster. We thank you for choosing our program. We're live Monday through Friday at noon on AM 1030 on KVOI, Tucson's intelligent voice. We're live streaming our show at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. We also make it very easy for you to hear our program anywhere, anytime at buckmastershow.com. We post the program there usually about 2 o'clock in the afternoon, also on tucsoncitizen.com and tucsonsentinel.com have the post, and we also now have links to the Buckmaster Show at gvnews.com. We're on the homepage of the Green Valley News and Saharita Sun, and a link to the show at blogforarizona.com. Our Friday Focus interview today is with Jonathan Rothschild, the mayor of the city of Tucson. Joining me in studio to question the mayor, Mark B. Evans, administrator of the TucsonCitizen.com, a service owned by the Gannett Corporation. It is a community of bloggers. If you would like to join in the conversation, our Buckmaster Show live line, 790-2040. The Friday Focus interview on the Buckmaster Show presented by Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley, a community for adults 55 and better. Enjoy the sensational sounds of Splendido with a special musical performance on December the 4th at 11 a.m. Gestures of Joy will be performing. They're an inspiring resident-led group, folks who live at Splendido, and they do a very good show. 11 a.m. Tuesday, December 4th. RSVP by calling 762-4084, 762-4084, or visit SplendidoTucson.com. Now we welcome, good to see you, Mark.
Hi, Bill.
And we welcome the mayor, Mayor Rothschild. Good to see you.
Bill, thanks for having me on.
You just have arrived from a kind of a ribbon-cutting inaugural for the new bus service known as TAP. Your aide was showing me some pictures from the ceremony. These are good-looking, brand-new Volvo buses that will be operating between Tucson and Western Mexico.
Yeah, it's every time you welcome a new business, a reputable business to town, you're happy about it. This one is particularly significant because it helps strengthen those ties we're trying to make between northern Mexico, in this case Western Mexico, and Tucson. As you know, Bill, and you know, Mark, the trade we get, both retail and moving product across that border, is so important to our region, and this will allow people to come across the border or go across the border. I bought the first ticket, and it was $35 to get to Hermosillo.
Wow.
So that could be good for our Christmas shopping. It's also good for families that want to visit each other.
Very reasonable. And Mexico is a new emphasis of your office and really the city council these days. You met with the mayor of Nogales recently. You were down in Nogales. There was a trade exposition in Nogales, I believe, 125 exhibitors from all over the United States and Canada as well. And there were some from Tucson here. But the point is, Mexico is the state of Sonora is booming right now.
It is, Bill, and I have had my eyes open in the year that I've been in office taking the trips. The biggest one was the one we went to Hermosillo and into the port of Guaymas and then over to Mexico City. And what we need to do in Tucson is we are the closest major city to the Nogales port, which is the biggest port between San Diego, which is crowded, and McAllen. And we need to be able to take those 67 international companies that are in Guaymas and growing and having some of them headquarter here. We've had a couple of them that have done that already, Sargent Controls, mm-hmm. or the offshore group. We also need to find out who are the people in the United States that are importing that 90% of the goods for manufacture into Mexico and try to draw them here. It's going to be one of our physical advantages, and we have to start to concentrate on it.
Here's Mark B. Evans from TucsonCitizen.com.
Hey, Mayor, what's the latest on the Rio Nuevo negotiations? I know you had a deal a few months ago, and they altered it a little bit, and that sent you back to the negotiating table, and now you've delayed it a couple of weeks. Are things progressing? Are we going to see some resolution to the disputes soon?
Well, we've never had a deal. We actually had a deal before I got to the council, and then new members of the Rio Nuevo board came on and decided that wasn't a deal. We're working on it. We're probably working on it as we speak between our council and Rio Nuevo's council. We've had productive talks. I think we're very close. I would expect early next week for me to look at the next draft. The essential procedure at this point is we're going to look at an agreement. And I'm going to take it to my council, and Mr. McCusker is going to take it to his board, and we either will have a deal or we won't. But I'm still optimistic that we're going to have a fair deal for everybody.
Well, didn't a few months ago you had at least a deal to have a deal with the TCC and funding the TCC and some money you were going to give to the district and the district, and then they added the board vote they wanted. They threw the West Side properties in there that they wanted those free and clear or something along those lines, plus with the parking garage. And then so there was some, of course, Steve Kozacek, who often gets his heartburn over things that Rio Nuevo does, seemed to be upset about that. So was that all just part of the process? Or
that's the best way to put it. It's all been part of the process. I mean, there's been key parts of this that haven't changed since the old agreement, but there's been the parts that have continued to move, and we've just got to stabilize them. And I'm hopeful we will. We argued our first motion in court to dismiss. There's lots of problems with the lawsuits. I don't even look at the lawsuits as part of why we need to get to a settlement. I look at why we need to get to a settlement so we can have a basis for moving forward, because that's what the people of Tucson want. They want this money to be used to build downtown.
Some of this progress is attributed to the change in the Senate, the board that the Senate president made to the board. Now we've got that Senate president's out. There was a 9-8 vote to put a more conservative Senate president in, Andy Biggs, who has had hard things to say about Tucson and Rio Nuevo in the past. What's that relationship going to be like, and is that going to put any pressure to get a deal done quickly in case things change next year?
Yeah, I don't know. I know that Mr. McCusker has been up to visit Mr. Biggs. I know Mr. Fimbres from our council, who has a relationship with Mr. Biggs, has written a letter of introduction and asked that both he and I come up to see Mr. Biggs. So there's lots of reasons for wanting to get a deal done, and that would be another one.
All right. 12:13 on the Buckmaster Show, 790-2040, 790-2040. If you have a question or comment for Mayor Rothschild, Mark Evans is with us from TucsonCitizen.com. You can also send us on the Buckmaster Show Facebook page a question, and we have a question from Deborah on Facebook, and she is not at all happy, Mr. Mayor, with the fact that there is a multi-story building, she says 17 stories, I'm not sure if it's that tall, at Park and Speedway. And she asked, well, how would you like that in your neighborhood?
Well, that process was a process, a public process, that went on for over a year with all sorts of input from all sorts of people. And it was a very difficult decision. The building that's going up is 14 stories, the tallest one. It's just about up, so you can take a look at it. But really, the choice for this council was, do you put – the University of Arizona is planning to expand its student base by 10,000 people. Do you put those 10,000 students in our historic neighborhoods and have the problems we've had in the past, or you try to concentrate them in the area that's along the streetcar route, that's along the area where we're looking for density, where we can have, and in this case, it really was, hopefully, a very top-quality product. And, you know, every time you have to make those tough decisions, you leave people sometimes unhappy. At this point, we got to look for the best results, and hopefully it will be good.
Mark, quick question before we take the break.
Well, just to clarify something, didn't you reduce the size of that building to 14 stories?
Yes, that one's 14, not 17.
Right.
Okay, I think this might be a good time to take the break. 790-2040 if you have a question or comment for the mayor, or you can also use the Facebook page for your questions. We will be back after we hear from the great lineup of people that support the Buckmaster Show, and we always ask that you support them.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Finding the perfect Tucson rental home is now easy thanks to Tucson Rental Homes, which offer high-quality 1, 2, and 3-bedroom luxury rental homes with private gated yards in a classic Santa Fe-style architecture. Designed, built, and managed by Tucson Rental Homes, prices start at just $750 a month. Check out our many homes now available at TucsonRentalHomes.com. The Rug Gallery is celebrating its 25th anniversary jubilee celebration with a colossal tent sale, offering up to 75% off at La Encantada Shopping Center at Campbell and Skyline in Tucson. With over 2,000 hand-woven imported rugs from around the globe, the Rug Gallery has rugs just right for your home or the largest palace. With an international reputation, the Rug Gallery has graced the cover of Christie's magazine and is featured in many other high-end publications. Stop by and check out the Rug Gallery with Arizona's largest in-stock inventory of fine, high-quality, hand-woven, imported rugs during the colossal tent sale with up to 75% off at Tucson's La Encantada Shopping Center in the foothills of the Catalinas. Or visit the Rug Gallery online at ruggalleryaz.com/sale or call 571-RUGS. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soup, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Now in its seventh year, the RTA has finished over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways. Current projects include the Modern Streetcar in downtown Tucson and Grant Road at Oracle. Please use caution and obey all traffic signs. With ongoing support of expanded SunTran, SunVan service, SunExpress, and SunShuttle neighborhood service, providing jobs and making travel around our region faster and safer, the RTA is delivering our promise to you.
Inside Pyramid Federal Credit Union, customer service is what we do. Outside, community service is who we are. Inside, we help generations achieve their financial goals. Outside, we help those in need. We reach out to our members. We reach out to our community. Because Pyramid Federal Credit Union is passionate about one thing: people. Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life.
Why should you fly out of TIA? Easy. Do the math. First, airfares are extremely competitive, so you won't spend more on your tickets. Second, you'll save at least 4 hours of your precious time, not to mention a bunch of money on gas. Third, covered parking right by the terminal is only $9 a day. And fourth, TIA offers daily nonstop service to many of your favorite destinations. So, what does it all add up to? Easy. Fly TIA. It's the way to go.
Well, Welcome back to Friday Focus on the Buckmaster Show. Our Friday Focus interview today, the mayor of the city of Tucson, Jonathan Rothschild, is with us, and Mark Evans from TucsonCitizen.com. Mayor, it will be 1 year next week. I think your swearing in was December the 5th, so you've got your 1 year anniversary next week. As you reflect back, how does it look to you?
Well, I think the city looks better than it looked a year ago. What I try to look at is, you know, we put out our 180-day plan and we accomplished almost all of it. It was smaller things, but it was important things. And a lot of it revolved around constituent service, making things move quicker. And we've really focused the people at the city on that. You know, the other part of it, which I wasn't expecting, was, and we have a city manager, Miranda, who is very focused on it, is making sure that people in our government are accountable. And if you're making mistakes that are significant, that's not going to be tolerated. And so, but I think that's been well received by the people of Tucson. I think they understand that there may have been some things going on where things weren't being watched, and we're taking care of that. I mean, part of that was the success of the road bond issue. It was a close election, but I don't think when we set out, people thought we could get people to give the city $100 million to rebuild our roads.
A lot of surprise people by the vote.
But you know what? Now it is my job and Mr. Miranda's job. We now have to show the people of Tucson, if we're going to build this city back, that we can use that money responsibly in the way we said we're going to. And that's my next task.
How concerned are you with the delay in the delivery of the streetcars from Oregon Ironworks? And if it is significant, not just a few weeks or months, but it is significant, what's that going to effect going to have on the funding for the construction? Because the funding was you know, touch and go. It was a razor's edge getting all the funding necessary to get it started.
Yeah, we've got all the funding for construction. We're running on budget. The timeliness of it, I'm not as concerned of, quite frankly. I mean, I'd like to see it be here when they said it was going to be here, and we're at some point going to have to look at that contract and see what we can impose. But what more concerns me is the timeliness of the rail construction, because it affects small businesses along the route. And we spent a lot of time and effort trying to work with people, and it's hard on them. So I want to make sure that it gets built out. If it takes a couple extra months before we're actually running it, does it affect operation and maintenance a little bit, cost? Yeah, but I don't think significant. And we're still doing a lot of work on the operation and maintenance. You know, the RTA had set aside $13.5 million, which will take us hopefully for the first 4 to 6 years. We're looking at deals with the University of Arizona. We're looking at deals with Pima Community College to try to up those public transportation riderships. And so we'll see where that goes. That's probably as important as when the streetcar arrives.
And speaking of the impact that construction has had on those downtown businesses, you just had a ribbon cutting this week for the construction on St. Mary's,
yeah,
which is the beginning of the extension of Barraza. So it's like back-to-back whammies. Is that of a concern in terms of the impact that construction is going to have on downtown?
Yeah, I don't think that construction directly impacts the businesses. It'll impact somewhat getting in by certain routes into town. But I think people can get used to that and like that. I'm more concerned for the businesses that rely on pedestrian traffic, you know, on 4th Avenue, which is pretty well done at this point, but even coming down Congress. And then we're going to have to go back up Broadway. Broadway's a little easier, but it's been tough on the people on 4th Avenue on Congress. And particularly on Congress, we got to get that work done.
And the streetcar will be out of the way for the street fair, the streetcar
it
construction?
It is. Well, they tell me. They say it's tight.
Right. We'll see. I was there yesterday. There's still a whole lot of barricades.
They may be working late.
Okay. We'll get an update next Friday on the RTA and the streetcar from Jim DeGroote. He will be our Friday Focus interview. Let's go to Shelton. We will take Shelton's call. It's a little bit off topic, but we always welcome people to give us their opinion. Go ahead, Shelton, real quickly.
Thank you, Bill. The well, I called the mayor's office yesterday about something else, helping a neighbor retrieve a stolen bike. PPD report has been made on. The main reason I called is there's a apartment complex, Montclair Apartments, on 3rd in Albanon that has been closed for many, many months. Do you know about that, and how will that be reopened again?
Okay. Thanks, Shelton.
Shelton, I did get your message about the stolen bike. I haven't had a chance to address it yet, but hopefully by early next week. And I don't know anything about that apartment complex. Sorry, I just don't know anything about it.
But Shelton does bring up a good point that you folks do have concerns in the city, and you are open to answering those concerns.
Well, when we talk about constituent service, one of the things, and I think we've seen that difference, I try to answer almost every email, not everyone, but almost every email. But what I can do is when there is a legitimate concern, and it is the beauty of the email, which I used to not like very much, I send it to the department head, whether it's the police chief, the fire chief, the head of the planning department, and I say, hey, can you look into this for me? And respond to both me and the constituent. And I will tell you, Bill, I generally get response within 48 hours. I mean, it's not – people don't necessarily get the answer they want to hear, but they at least hear things and they at least know that they've been addressed. And I think that's part of what's changing what we're getting done.
Is the city looking better to you? I know that the medians, we had to let a lot of the vegetation die. We just didn't have the money really to keep the irrigation system up. Are we going to try to start making those medians look a little better?
Yeah, well, the first thing we had to do, and we did do, was put in a program to clean up the medians. And we did do that. And now we've got the road bond, so you know it's a sort of a back-to-basics program. And then, yes, last week we heard about the fact that the irrigation along where the medians are is in disrepair. There are ways to find that money, I believe, without within the current structure, particularly over at the water department, because it's irrigation. And so I think we can get that done. It's going to be a challenge for governments probably for years to come. This year, I've seen our preliminary numbers for the end of 2011 and into 2012, or for almost all of 2012, and we're up in revenue 5.8%. That's really good numbers. It shows that we are coming back as a community. Our costs continue to rise, and those costs are still outstripping even that kind of growth. And so I think for years to come, we're going to be looking at really having to watch our money carefully.
Here's Mark Evans from TucsonCitizen.com.
What happened in the negotiations with the county over the combined courthouse? I mean, the combined courthouse was supposed to be a sign of the city and county finally getting along, and we're going to be in a joint venture together. We put it on the bond. The voters passed it. Now it's had some cost overruns for unforeseen issues, and now you're out, and you're back with the building that was inadequate in the first place that caused you to want to be part of this new building. So what happened there, and so what are you going to do now for your courthouse?
That old building's looking a lot better to us now, Mark. the history of it is that, well, first of all, when you talk about the city-county relations, Chuck and I meet probably on a bi-monthly basis. We make agreements with the county almost at every council meeting. You'll see an intergovernmental agreement. So a lot goes on that there is coordination with the city and the county. And particularly at department head level, they will tell you their relations are good. In this particular case, there was a city-county bond issue. As I understand it, Mr. Huckleberry took money that was supposed to be used for the city courthouse and principally put a lot of it into the old Superior Courthouse. He came back to us and asked us for $12 million. We don't have $12 million. And we negotiated what would then be a way of them advancing us the money and sort of a lease deal. But in the long run, the deal that was offered, essentially, we came back with an offer that we thought would be a fair way and that we could deal with, and the county needed more. And there are times when you just have to say, you go your way and we'll go ours on this. We've looked at all the alternatives, and it's far less expensive for us to do a little rehabbing of our old courthouse. Is it the best model? I'm not sure. And we'll see what happens over time.
And so this is real. It's not just brinksmanship or gamesmanship where you call in their bluff and saying, okay, so now we're out of your courthouse. What are you going to do now? you're talking, this is a real split.
Yeah, I don't think so. I mean, I'm always open to negotiations. If Chuck were to pick up the phone tomorrow and say, oh, I've got a new idea, I would listen. But as to the alternatives that were given, and we chose one, and we were rejected, and we're perfectly able and in some ways probably fiscally responsible to look at our old courthouse now.
Mayor Rothschild, thank you very much for being with us. Congratulations on your first year in office, and I hope you have a great weekend. Thanks.
I appreciate it, Bill. You too.
Thanks,
you too, Mark.
Thanks, Mayor.
Reporters Roundtable is coming up next on the Buckmaster Show.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. House Speaker John Boehner says negotiations aimed at avoiding automatic spending cuts and tax hikes are going almost nowhere. He says the president's proposal for boosting revenue $1.6 trillion over the next decade would be a crippling blow to the economy. The president, meanwhile, says both sides need to get out of their comfort zones in order to reach a deal. An Egyptian opposition leader has told a crowd of some 200,000 people in a central Cairo square, the revolution is back. Protesters angry over a draft constitution approved last night by allies of President Mohamed Morsi. The 2012 hurricane season has come to an end, and it's another one for the record books. Very active season. On Wall Street, the Dow is down 2 points, the NASDAQ off 2 points as well. More details at srnnews.com.
Hi, this is Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culligan Water in Southern Arizona. Everyone is switching to high-efficiency appliances because they have money, and a Culligan high-efficiency water softener does the same. But did you know that you can rent rather than buy? Think about it. No equipment to pay for upfront, money-saving purchase options if you change your mind, and service calls are included in the rental rate. In fact, you'll never have to pay for another water softener, ever. So now you can get all the benefits of soft water for less when you rent from Culligan. Imagine a spot-free home, softer skin, and brighter laundry for dollars a day. Even better, a Culligan high-efficiency water softener saves up to 46% on water, salt, and energy, plus helps all your appliances last longer. Let your Culligan man take care of your water when you rent the world's most efficient water softener. Call Culligan Water at 792-9700. 792-9700. Culligan, better water, pure and simple.
Vero Amore restaurants are known as the place for authentic wood-fired Neapolitan pizzas, plus delicious pastas, panini, salads, and more. Every flavorful dish is homemade using the finest and freshest local and imported ingredients available. Vero Amore has two locations open daily, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events.
Dragonfly Village is in the midst of a capital campaign to build a 12-building village on a portion of the Amity Foundation's Circle Tree Ranch to reunite children in need with their families. Upon completion, the village will have housing for 100 families annually. Please be a part of making the Dragonfly Village dream a reality. Find out more at dragonflyvillage.org. That's dragonflyvillage.org.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is one of Southern Arizona's crown jewels. You will find that the services and amenities offered at Splendido rival those of a fine resort. But what sets Splendido apart is a continuum of health care that allows for a full life today, knowing tomorrow is secure. As a true continuing care retirement community, Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com.
My name is Mark Layton, and I'm the IT guy over at O'Neill Printing. In order to serve my Tucson clients, I've got to be able to quickly receive files up to 10 gigs in size. That's why we made the switch to Cox Business. We used to have an internet connection that could barely handle more than 2 file uploads at a time. With Cox Business, our connection is 10 times faster, and our bill is 40% less. Now that's what I call a no-brainer.
Get to know the business side of Cox at coxbusinessaz.com.
Welcome back to the Friday Roundtable. I am Bill Buckmaster. It's the Buckmaster Show on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice. Our roundtable today features Jimmy Bogle, editor of the Tucson Weekly, and Mark B. Evans, administrator of the Gannett Corporation-owned TucsonCitizen.com website, which is a community of bloggers, including the Buckmaster Show. If you have a comment or question for us, the Buckmaster Show live line 790-2040 in the Reporters Roundtable presented by Splendido, a community of adults 55 and better at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley. Check out their group Gestures of Joy. We'll be performing, a resident-led group. That performance is December the 4th, Tuesday at 11 a.m. RSVP by calling 762-4084 or visit SplendidoTucson.com. Jimmy, it's good to see you. This is our first chance to have you on the radio since your big announcement that you are going to be venturing off on your own, starting an online newspaper over in the Coachella Valley, i.e. the Palm Springs, California area. Congratulations to you, Jimmy. I know I've been there a couple of years ago when you go off on your own. It's very exciting, but very scary. And expensive.
Yeah, you definitely know what you're talking about. Off the air, we were talking about LLCs. And for any of you out there who are business owners who own an LLC in Arizona, California has an $800 a year LLC tax, no matter how little or how much you make. Actually, it goes up depending on how much you make. So, but thank you, Bill. I really appreciate that.
What will the paper consist of?
Well, it'll be kind of a – it's going to be an online news source. Down the line, it might have a print component as well. But it's going to be kind of in the Tucson Weekly vein. It's going to be an alternative news source focusing on basically telling the stories of the community and the arts community, investigative news, hopefully good and compelling columns. It's going to be kind of that unique mix that you can only get from a true community newspaper, and I'm looking very forward to it.
And folks worried about the transition at the
Weekly? If anyone has any reason to be worried, let me tell you, they have no reason to be worried at all. Dan Gibson, who is our former web producer, anyone who's read The Range over the last couple of years knows Dan's work and his sense of humor, but also his news sense. I mean, some of the things he found on January 8th, 2011, he was one of the first people, I think, to my knowledge, he's the first person that found online some of the weird things that Jared Loughner had put up and MySpace and YouTube. And he's going to do a great job. So anyone who's concerned about the future of the Weekly, gosh darn it, there's no reason to be concerned at all.
Jimmy Bogle with us and Mark Evans from TucsonCitizen.com. Mark, what about Chuck Huckleberry sent a 4-page letter to the Arizona Secretary of State, Mr. Bennett, with some suggestions about changing our voting system here to maybe iron things out, make it a little smoother after a very rough election day here in Arizona. Well, the state has pretty much turned down the county proposal to do ballot scans.
Right. So the ballot scans was part of the proposal that he had made, and that was to have every ballot as it's go through not just be counted, but a digital image taken of it, and then that image be loaded onto the internet so that people can go and see what the actual counts were themselves. There's privacy concerns with that, and the Secretary of State is also – it was a pilot program that they kind of let languish and never really funded. And one of the concerns is that they don't want to have the county – Pima County do this and other counties not do it, and you have 15 different ways to audit the results of the election results. The other requests that he made, so that was turned down. The other requests he made are really statewide issues, because this problem with early ballots, and some of it has the fault of the recorder's office and the elections office by having bad voter rolls, confused voters about where they're supposed to go, and the rise of provisional ballots. But some of it also has to do with the failure of of some voters, a growing percentage of voters who get these early ballots and then cast them on election day. They bring them in and drop them off, or they mail them late so that they arrive in the mail late. And what one of the things they're asking for is more resources from the state to count those early ballots on election day as best as possible, so that you don't have the situation where we had this past election, where the county in Maricopa County, where you had 300,000 uncounted ballots on election night, was it took them 15 days. Down here, it took them 11 days to do more than 100,000 uncounted ballots.
Yeah. So for whatever reason, Jimmy, thousands and thousands of Arizonans brought their ballot to the election, their early ballot.
That's
to
correct.
The election
and
polling place.
They have to be verified. The signature has to be verified, and therefore it takes a lot longer to count. And the voters share a lot of blame for this problem because they didn't follow the instructions, and these early ballots take a lot longer. I have to say, I'm a big fan of Chuck Huckleberry when it comes to a lot of things, but the election problems have been a thing in Pima County since going back to the 2006 RTA election. Of course, everyone knows there's a group of activists out there who maintain, no matter what the evidence is, including a full recount, that the election was flipped, and it most definitely was not. But I will give them credit. They did uncover a lot of weird things going on in Brad Nelson's elections department that I actually called for him to be fired at one point, which led to Chuck Huckleberry to call for me to be fired, kind of in the pages of the Weekly. I'm not sure. But the fact of the matter is, there have been a lot of election issues going on, and Pima County's been one of the slowest to get their ballot counts out over the last couple of elections. I'm glad it's finally come to the forefront. I think that a lot of the things that Chuck Huckleberry is suggesting are good ideas. But it's about time, and this has been a long time coming. And, with the rise in the early voter list and people just not turning those ballots in, this is actually no surprise.
And Mr. Nelson is accountable really to Mr. Huckleberry and not to the voters, and that is what bothers a lot of people.
Right, and Huckleberry is accountable to the Board of Supervisors, who are accountable to the voters. So ultimately, the voters are the ones that run the government. They're to make the decisions at the ballot box. And one of the decisions they're going to have to make is, if they don't like these delays and how long it takes to get results, then they're going to have to be willing to pay for the improvements or change the early balloting rules, because it's the early balloting rules that allows for these ballots to be dropped off this late that – just, people just procrastinate. And so you get one fifth of all the ballots that were cast in the last election were turned in or arrived on election day of the early ballots. So the voters are going to have to solve the problem themselves by paying to either change the rules through the legislature or to pay for more counting on election day.
Mark, you had a column, you have it up right now at TucsonCitizen.com, that we actually need more political parties to give independents a home.
Well, our electoral system is kind of geared around the two-party system. Yeah, there's other parties out there, the Libertarian Party and the Green Party, and they've struggled for years to get above 2% of the electorate vote. But what we've seen is more and more people abandoning the party system and becoming independents, and it makes them political orphans. And there's reasons to be in a political party. There's the power of the group. There's the infrastructure it provides for candidates who want to get elected. There's fundraising. There's get out the vote. It helps voters decide whether this person is really the person they want to vote for. It gives them kind of a broad brush way to quickly evaluate a particular candidate. And to have these many people out in the political wilderness is not good. But they don't want to go. They left those parties for a reason. The Republicans and the Democrats have become very extreme in their views, and there's no compromise. And it's easy for me to say we need another party. It's hard to do. You've got to create that infrastructure. Someone has to fund it. So it really was a thought exercise on my part to say, it's bad to have these independents, this many independents. We need to do something. So either the Republicans and the Democrats need to moderate their views and create those big tents again that they like to claim that they have, or we're going to need some place for these people to go,
because that number just keeps growing. The independents,
it does indeed, and like Mark points out, there are political orphans, and that's one of the reasons why I'm blanking on the prop number, but the open primary proposition,
121.
Thank you. That would have been on the ballot this year. A lot of independents were behind it, even though there were some other issues with it as well, and we actually declined to endorse it, the Tucson Weekly. But one of the stronger arguments in favor of that was this would allow actually independents, which are 30 plus percent of the voters to these days, to actually have a say in in the primaries, which right now they really don't, unless you somehow manage to get more than one independent on the ballot in some way or another, which doesn't happen much.
Rio Nuevo negotiations extended. We were talking a little bit about this with the mayor. I think many on the council would just sort of like to never hear those two words.
Right. Again. Rio, I think everybody has Rio Nuevo fatigue. But
except for Steve Kosachin, because right. He loves to talk about it. I love you, Steve, but you know that's true.
But, you know, it's still a good idea, even though they've managed to screw it up for 10 years. It takes money that would normally be going to the state that's spent within the district and keeps it here for us to use to create a multi-facilities district that can be used to revitalize downtown, bring people downtown, and bring amenities downtown. And that money's still there. It's still available for us to use, and I think we would be foolish not to use it. I'm encouraged that there is this more conciliatory tone between the two sides. I think we'll get a deal done, but as we talked about with the mayor, the changes in the legislature, you know, could throw another wrench in the works. I'm hoping that it doesn't, and that we're able to resolve the disputes as they currently exist.
You know, Jimmy Bogle, even though Rio Nuevo, from a financial point of view, has been a disaster, it did get people looking and talking and going downtown.
Yes.
So, I mean, in some ways, there's a little silver lining there.
I mean, you know, I moved here 10 years ago, and the downtown of late 2002 versus late 2012, it's night and day in terms of the number of things going on, the Fox reopening, which I know there are a lot of financial issues with that, and there were some mistakes made there. But you can't deny that having those two theaters, you know, anchoring kind of both ends of downtown sort of, you know, but the real reason why Rio Nuevo needs to get fixed is the one thing downtown that has gotten demonstrably worse over the last decade or so is the convention center. I mean, we've seen a lot of high profile big concerts there that normally in years past would have sold out, but it's gotten to the point where the TCC Arena is such in such bad shape, I'll put it that way, that certain people, even if there's a compelling act that they'd really be willing to shell out the bucks to go see, they don't want to go and see a concert there. It's becoming an issue, and that needs to be addressed by the city and by Rio Nuevo ASAP.
And there was some talk of – there were double booking, and that was
– Yes.
Right. That's the continuing drumbeat of scandal coming out of the city, which I think is going to be resolved. Some of this has to do with Richard Miranda cracking down on city staff and taking complaints seriously.
Yeah. The Star actually had a very good editorial the other day talking about this is actually a good sign that the city uncovered this wrongdoing, you know, and I'm going to call it wrongdoing when you're screwing up your job so bad it's costing taxpayers hundreds of thousands of dollars. And that's actually a good sign. You know, some people might use this to throw bombs at the city, but it's a good sign that the city is finding these problems and hopefully taking steps to address them.
TUSD finalized its list of possible closures. We'll talk more about this. Mari Hararis from the Weekly is going to be with us next week here on the Roundtable. And she is the education reporter expert in this town. And we'll talk more about it with her. But right now it looks like it was bad news for a bunch of schools.
It was bad news for a bunch of schools. And I think that everyone there's kind of a little bit of NIMBYism going on back here. Everyone agrees with the contraction in TUSD that a bunch of schools need to close. But, of course, no one wants their neighborhood school to close. And actually, to promote the Weekly a little bit, Maury's actually starting a series next week where she's going to profile some of the schools that are on the closure list and talk about them and talk about some of the reasons why maybe they shouldn't close. But, you know, this has been a tough process. But, you know, let's face it, the TUSD's got, you know, a big budget problem, and they've got to fix that.
Go ahead.
And TUSD had 61,000 students in 2000, and now it has 52,000 students. When you've got 10,000 empty seats and you had enough schools to fill them, you've got a lot of empty seats. And when you've got a budget crisis, which is going to continue, I mean, there's no real light at the end of the tunnel for school funding in Arizona, at least in the near term. And tight budgets are going to be the way that it is for the next several years. The district's really got no choice but to close schools, and it's extremely painful. I mean, they had a great idea when they created the district and decided they were going to have small schools in neighborhoods. But, you know, times have changed, and that's just not economically viable. But I feel for them. My daughter went to the same school for several years, and we loved her school. She loved her teachers, and I could see if they were saying, hey, well, let's close this school. That would have been fairly traumatic both to her and to the community. So
that's absolutely correct. This is a necessary evil, but it's not a happy thing for sure.
And final note about poverty. This is this caught my eye that Yuma County, Jimmy Bogle, highest unemployment rate in the United States, nearly 30%. We're talking nearly one out of three people in Yuma County unemployed.
Well, let's bring it back to Tucson and talk about poverty. More than one in five people in Pima County lives below the poverty line. This is a big issue. It is, no doubt.
Huge issue, and at least one person will not be worrying about poverty, someone who bought a lottery ticket, Powerball ticket, at a market in South Tucson, $1 million. How's that for an early Christmas
present? Thinking you were talking about the Powerball.
$1 million Powerball ticket sold at a longtime neighborhood in South Tucson.
Let's hope they didn't wash it in their laundry.
It was TNT Market. Okay, Jimmy Bogle, thank you very much. Mark Evans, hope both of you have a great weekend.
Thank you.
Thanks.
If you love antiques like I do, I strongly suggest a visit to Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American Western art. They also have a fantastic selection of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell. Adobe House Antiques, 325-9439. That's 325-9439.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 6 years, completing over 400 projects, including five major roadways. Projects underway include the modern streetcar in downtown Tucson, La Cañada from Ina to River, and Phase 2 of Saharita Road. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Think credit unions don't have the locations or ATM networks that the big banks do? Think again. Pyramid Federal Credit Union offers fee-free ATM access at 120 ATMs in Southern Arizona and 60,000 ATMs throughout the country, plus free shared branch access at credit unions nationwide. And the convenience continues online with free bill pay and 24/7 online banking. So no matter where you are, you're just around the corner from Pyramid Federal Credit Union. What are you waiting for? Open your account today. Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is a very special place, offering a continuum of health care in a resort atmosphere. Splendido received two 2007 Best of 50 Plus Housing Awards from the National Association of Home Builders for overall best continuing care retirement community and interior design. Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com.
There are a million people in metropolitan Tucson, and they have a million stories to tell. That's why there is TucsonCitizen.com, the voice of Tucson. Nearly 100 citizen journalists and bloggers, including the Buckmaster Show, report the news and provide perspective, opinion, and information about everything from local politics to the Arizona Wildcats. Visit TucsonCitizen.com today to read what you can't find in traditional media or to contact us to add your voice to the voice of Tucson, TucsonCitizen.com.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our neighbors realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and build a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's PCC students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a smart, thriving Tucson and Pima County. Our region has not been immune to the unprecedented economic challenges of the past few years. During this time, PCC has prided itself on offering crucial programs and services at an extremely affordable price. We remain one of Arizona's best education bargains. With your ongoing support, we look forward to embarking on new directions and building new community connections that ensure the people of Pima County will prosper today and in the future. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
And that music signals the weekend is officially here on the Buckmaster Show. Weekend Watch with Matt Russell, brought to you by Silver City, Grant County, New Mexico. Silver is one of America's top 100 arts communities. They're getting ready for the big New Mexico Tamale Festival in downtown Silver City. That is 1 week from Saturday, December the 8th. Silver City is just 3.5 hours east of Tucson. Lots of nice places to stay. Faywood Springs Resort, Buckhorn RV Park, and Georgetown Cabins, to name a few. For more information, log on to southwestnewmexico.org. And here he is now, the culinary cruiser who has broken out the Santa suit a little bit early on a very warm day, Matt Russell, to have that Santa suit and the hat and all the getting ready for all the goodies to hand them out. I'm sure the big Christmas bonuses are in line for Russell Public Communications.
I would think a box of the tamales from Silver City would be a lovely gesture for all of our staff here at Russell Public. You nailed it.
Matt, congratulations. I want to call the Buckmaster Show listeners to the attention of Inside Tucson Business, where the new food column will be hosted by yours truly, Matt Russell. This is really going to be a fun thing, isn't it?
This is going to be great, and certainly the editorial staff at Inside Tucson Business must be loyal listeners of the Buckmaster Show, because you know, I just love talking about food, and now they want me to write about it. So every Friday in Inside Tucson Business, we're going to be telling some of the most fascinating stories that I have discovered on the food and beverage scene in Tucson, and there certainly will be no shortage of content.
There will not. And, of course, afternoon tea is coming up at Lowe's Ventana Canyon.
Yeah, one of our favorite holiday settings up at Lowe's. Starting today at 2 o'clock, they're going to unleash their wonderful tea with the traditional bites and nibbles, a full-on four-course tea service. They're going to include some champagne and a $26 price. Again, it all starts today at 2 o'clock up at Lowe's. I think the perfect way to start your weekend, and I'm sure, Bill, that you and your wife have taken in a few teas on one of your many visits to England, have you not?
We have, and we have checked out that afternoon tea. It's always great during the holidays, and this is a fun thing for people who bring out-of-town relatives, take them up to Ventana Canyon, and I think the price point is right, too, for that tea.
Indeed, this is a spectacular setting.
Great Christmas activity coming up for if you're into the Greek thing.
Absolutely. Tomorrow, starting at 10 in the morning, all the way up to 5 at St. Demetrius Greek Church over there on Fort Lowell, they're going to be providing a chance for you to sample some wonderful Greek cuisine. There's going to be some Greek cooking demonstrations. There's going to be some classic gyros, some gourmet cheeses, pastries, of course, some of the old world desserts. And they tell me that Jeannie the Spice Goddess is going to be there as well. So this is a must for anyone who fancies themselves an enthusiast of Mediterranean cuisine.
Tohonochula is also one of the great places to stop and check out during the holidays.
Yeah, and it's actually when the sun goes down tomorrow night, we suggest you get out there for their annual holiday nights event. Starting at 5:30 p.m., live music, some delicious treats, some great shopping, and get this, all under nearly 1 million lights, which are going to really make those gardens twinkle. And of course, Bill, I love to dine at the Garden Bistro when I'm out there. It's always a treat. So come on out for the music and the lights and stay for a delicious dinner. Now I'm really in the Christmas spirit.
Oh, yeah. And one of the things that you pointed out in today's food column in Inside Tucson Business, we have the fantastic chefs here. The diversity of food choices in this community is really astounding, Matt Russell.
Yeah, spanning you know, all ethnicities and spanning all cultures. You don't have to leave Tucson for a wonderful culinary experience. We have something for everyone.
Matt Russell, have a great weekend.
Thanks, Bill. You too.
bottled water on the Buckmaster Show provided by Culligan, offering the best drinking water and the largest variety of water treatment products and services available to your home or business. Better water, pure and simple. I like to say the reason Culligan is so good, well, folks, it simply tastes better. The Buckmaster Show is a production of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, on behalf of our team. My producer, the lovely and talented Rosemary Brandt, she's the best in the business, folks, I'm telling you. I am Bill Buckmaster, wishing you a wonderful and safe weekend, and I want to tell you about the John C. Scott Show this afternoon from 4 to 5. It's the Bike in a Box fundraiser going on. It started yesterday. They're going to try to reach $25,000 this afternoon, and it is a fabulous cause. $45 will get a underprivileged child a bicycle on a really great Christmas. So check out John's show this afternoon. Then Monday morning, it's Wake Up Tucson with Chris and Joe from 6 to 8. I do wish you have a great weekend. We'll be back with you on Monday. Have a good one.
This is Michael Medved. Stay tuned for more Intelligent Talk on AM 1030 KVOI, Cortero, Tucson, The Voice.